Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together, we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Today's guest is someone who has shaped the way millions think about marriage and parenting. Jim Burns, founder of Homeward, has spent nearly four decades equipping families, couples, and church leaders with practical, biblically grounded wisdom. His books like Confident Parenting, Creating an Intimate Marriage, and the best-selling Doing Life with Your Adult Children have influenced homes around the world, translated into more than 20 languages. Jim has a unique gift. He takes deep Christian conviction and marries it with real-world issues. Things like raising emotionally resilient kids, navigating the teen years, strengthening your marriage, and learning how to parent your adult children without losing your mind or your relationship. We're diving into all of it today: marriage, parenting, and what it looks like to love and lead well in every season. So settle in. This conversation is going to help you build a home that lasts. Jim Burns, my friend, thank you so much for joining me today.
Zach, good to be with you.
I'd love to start out this way. You've spent a lot of your life focusing on the family and focusing on what God is continuing to do through marriage, through the sacred gift of parenting and more. What really called you into that space, Jim? Because obviously family holds a very sacred place in the heart of God.
Well, you know what's interesting is I was not raised in a Christian home, so very different than the home you were raised in. So I became a Christian when I was 16 in the Jesus Revolution. I literally, when I saw the movie, I was there, not at the movie, but I was... That was my experience at that same church, actually. So I was a part of that. I mean, tears were streaming down my eyes as I'm watching the movie because I just didn't expect it. I mean, they're showing places where they were doing baptisms in the church and all these kind of things. So by not being raised in the church, I quickly felt a call to youth ministry. And so, you know, my opening, I was 18 and I was a youth pastor and, you know, I was going to college and went on to graduate school and everything was about youth ministry. And came after seminary, I came back and was a youth pastor at a church. There's a church here in Southern California called Mariners, which is one of the larger churches. So I was the first youth pastor, one of the founding pastors of that church. And I kept saying to some of my interns, I would say, you know, these kids are getting help. They're getting saved. They're getting healed. But parents just sort of drop them off. It would be better if the kids dropped the parents off and we could help these parents. But, you know, I was too young in my mind to do that. But it evolved, Zach, and it evolved towards saying more and more, I got to help these parents. So I moved from speaking to about 250,000 kids a year to helping parents. I even remember when I started writing books on marriage and family and parenting, even my litter agent said, are you sure? Because, you know, you live in the youth ministry world. And I went, no, these parents need help. And I've never looked back. I've loved being able to work with parents. It's complicated. It's not perfect. It's messy. And I think God says, I'm okay with messes. So, you know, having my second, if you would, calling career was in the world of you know, working with families, and it's just been passionate for me. Kathy and I are what we call the transitional generation. When the Bible says you inherit the sins of a previous generation, the third and fourth, we had to put a stake in the ground and say, we're going to be the transitional generation. We're either going to recover or repeat those same kind of sins, because both of us came from the dysfunctional things. We were the first Christians in both of our families. So, you know, I looked back just recently at one of my daughters, you know, recently got married, and I went, whoa, this is kind of working. It's not perfect. I know we could quote the Bible, but I quote Lilo and Stitch from Disney. This is my family. It may be small. It may be broken at times, but it's still good. Yeah, it's still good. Well, that's how I feel about mine. But and I say to parents all the time who maybe came from our background, you can be the transitional generation. It's not going to be easy, but you can. And What a blessing to change it in one, the trajectory of a family in one generation.
I love that, the transitional generation, right? This idea that your history does not have to define your destiny and that you can put the stake in the ground and you can make the change. Jim, you know, I'd love to hear, just in all the work that you continue to do with marriages and families, and you've even seen in your own life, what are some of the biggest challenges that you think families are up against, especially in the society and culture that we find ourselves in?
I mean, a lot of us would go straight to media. And, you know, social media, even AI and whatnot. And we can do a lot of whining about it, but you and I are right now using media to do it in a good way. So there's good ways of doing it. There's good ways of communicating, you know, to people as well. But I think as parents today, we have to take the lead when it comes to creating media safe homes. You know, my parents didn't think about that. I had a dial-up phone that I, and it had a long cord, and I would talk to my girlfriends in high school. You know, and then my mom would open the door and, like, you know, get off the phone. But that was it, right? So today it's so much more complicated. So I think it's important for us to be able to help, you know, parents who have their kids at whatever age they are to work with media. The other thing would be sexual integrity. You know, the world is kind of crazy on this stuff. And we can be all mad and angry, but the fact is God created sex. God created sex in the context of marriage to be beautiful and good. And I think we haven't done as good a job. And I think we should. I was in Boise. There were 600 people at a parenting conference. And I said, how many of you received good, positive, healthy sex education from your parents growing up? Two people out of 600. One was, interesting enough, the pastor, which I love because you usually don't see that. But I then said, you know, the research shows that the more positive, value-centered sex education kids receive from home, the less promiscuous they'll be, but also the less confused they'll be. So I think in the church, we've got to be able to come alongside parents and help them, you know, deal with those kinds of issues. Do we deal them with issues of energizing, you know, the family's spiritual faith and all that? Yeah. I mean, studies are now showing that if there are faith conversations at the home, kids will have a much greater chance of staying in the church. So, you know, my background and my love is youth ministry. You know what? I'm not the most important influence spiritually on most of those kids. Their parents were. You know, even my parents who weren't in the church, not in a good way, but they influenced me. So I think it's important for us to understand that. And I think a lot of the people who are coming, say in counseling, who are coming to, you know, talk with the beautiful, wonderful counselors who are part of AACC and others, those people need help navigating our culture today. We can do that. And I think we can do that better. And so I think guys like you and me, to a smaller extent, because of the fact that, you know, I think the next generation of leadership, you, the Zach Clintons of the world, you have that opportunity to help this next generation navigate this. And it's a, you know, the Gen Z, it's an incredible time in our spiritual history, in our nation's history, and they're open to it, but they need to see people like yourself and others who are, you know, standing strong, standing firm, and not being wackadoos, but really, literally helping them understand that, you know, there is an answer. And it comes through our faith in Christ, but there are really practical answers in how we navigate, you know, media or porn or addictions or those kinds of things. And I'm pretty positive about what's going on right now. We've got parallel tracks. We got the parallel track of people who don't know nothing about the Lord, and they know nothing, and they're, you know, falling off the tracks. And then we've got another parallel track of people who are stronger and more confident and, you know, going in a great direction. We probably don't put enough energy on the positive side of what's going on with, I think, some renewal and revival that's taking place. I was just speaking at a Bible school in Hawaii, and here gap year students are 19 years old. And I was kind of playing youth pastor to them for the week. It was great. And we talked on relationships and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, these were people who had strong biblical values. And I went, awesome. You don't see that in the world. It's not in the newspaper that one, 1% of these people had a non-biblical view and all the rest had a biblical view and they were trying to make it happen. Are they perfect? No, they were talking to me about boyfriends and girlfriends and all kinds of stuff. But the point being is they wanted to do it right. Yay.
Jim, you know what? You mentioned there's so many deterrents. There's so many distractions out there in the world. But like you said, there seems to be some positive momentum that's building and swelling around culture and society, that spirit of revival. People are hungry for holiness. They're thirsty for the truth. And I'm grateful, Jim, all of us here at the AACC are grateful for people like you, leaders like you, and Homeward, and just organizations and ministries that care about investing in the lives of parents. I think we spend so much time encouraging and empowering kids, but we don't spend enough time educating and equipping parents. And so something, you know, I'm a younger guy with my wife. We've been married for 4 years. We just got done with our schooling, officially, praise God. But we are having conversations. Thank you, sir. Having conversations around starting a family. And a lot of our friends are now starting to have kids or having these conversations alongside of us. And I'm just beginning to ask some of these questions to people like you with some sage wisdom and advice of, what do you believe is really at the heart of parenting? Like, what's the mission? What does Jesus really believe our goal should be in raising an emotionally resilient, but at the same time, a strong and resilient kid?
Well, you know, I think we have the roadmap, Zach, these days. Part of the roadmap is in the Old Testament. It's called the Shema, which in Hebrew means to listen. And it says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, body, and soul. And then it says, interestingly enough, it says, live it. I'm paraphrasing, obviously, live it and impress it on your children. So I think today parents have to take the lead. We had a generation of parents who kind of went, hey, we didn't have youth ministry, so then parents had to do it. Now we have youth ministry. They're a lot cooler than we are. Let's just let the youth workers and the children workers. But what we found was that those were the people who were leaving the church after high school. The homes where there were faith conversations at home, and not toxic, you know, wackadoo stuff, not, you know, lectury, preachy, but they were having healthy faith conversations. Those kids are staying in the church. So, you know, as we now have some research behind that, it's pretty mind-blowing that simply if you have faith conversations in the home and parents learn how to do that well, those kids are staying to a greater extent. Now, obviously, there's people who are, you know, listening to this, who their kids as adults have strayed, because that happens. They violate values. They stray. It's what's happening in the culture. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to come back sometime. I find that a lot of people are coming back, really your generation, they get married and they get more serious about their faith, or they make babies and they get more serious about their faith, and they want to go back to what was positive for them and healthy for them. Not everybody, but there's some good news out there with that. So, you know, that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a resilience and a renewal of a younger generation saying, what does the church have to do with our faith in life? Now, again, they may look at church differently. They may look at how we do worship differently. They may not want to go to the old traditional church that they were raised in. They may want to go to a church that meets their needs in a different way.
Yes, you know, it's amazing. Like you said, if we can continue on and just stay committed in our own relationship with Christ, because as you're alluding to, a lot the kids learn is more caught than it is taught. And so we model those things day after day. And I think that's a big thing for parents. And so I even want to press in a little bit further, because I've never met a parent, Jim, that wanted to say, or, you know, they're thinking about raising kids. It's like, I can't wait to ruin this kid's life. You know what I mean? Like, I can't wait to mess this kid up. No. Every parent wants to raise an emotionally resilient but also a securely attached child. And I think a lot of people just don't know how to do it because maybe it wasn't modeled for them, or they don't have the tools or the practices to do it for themselves. And so one thing I might ask, Jim, just here up front as well, is what are some things that as parents, like early, soon-to-be parents like myself, as we're considering some ways that we can try to help our child develop a securely attached framework early on in their life? We know research shows that by the age of 2 in infancy, a securely attached framework or an insecure attached framework is formed. How can we be making sure that we are offering them the greatest opportunity for success in that manner?
Well, you know, the Bible says the man or woman of integrity walks securely. And I honestly think that what parents have to do is have a life of integrity, security. You'll walk more securely, but your children will too. So I really think that one of the things that we probably downplay, especially in the first few years of marriage or when the first baby comes and things like that, is we got to keep working on our own soul. You know, I don't know that we nourish our own soul. I don't know that we nourish the soul of our marriage. So the integrity that we have means that, yeah, there's little things you can do to help your kids grow spiritually. And, you know, I just read through for the third time a children's Bible with my grandson. Awesome. I mean, I love that. But the truth is more, like you said, Zach, more is caught than taught. So they need to see me loving my wife. They need to see me, like the other day, Huxley, he's five. He's my grandson who doesn't live right by us, but he was there. And I keep a journal. I write prayers in a journal every day. And I had showed him that his name was there. I said, I put your name there every day because he can't read yet at five. He kind of thinks he can, but he can't. And the other day he came up and was sitting by me and there was my journal. And he said, he calls me Papa Jay. Papa Jay, where's Huxley? And I'm thinking, you're right here, buddy. You're Huxley. And he goes, no, where's Huxley? And he opens the deal, my little journal, and you can't read my writing hardly. And I go, oh, this is Huxley. Honestly, my eyes welled up with tears because I went, I do this for this kid every day. But when I told him that, he took it so serious. And my kids, my grandkids and my kids know that I pray for them every day. But I can point to that little deal. And Huxley, so his latest, he's been now here a few times since we had that little, you know, experience. And he always goes, where's Huxley? And I go, let me show you. There's Huxley. He's checking on me. But that's the kind of thing we can do. I mean, I think we get overwhelmed with, oh my gosh, I just heard another talk about AI and how it's going to blow up our life and all this. Well, those things could be true. But the people who live their lives with moral integrity, the people who are working on their own stuff, those are the people who do a better job. And you know, I think we downplay that. So, and no one's perfect. You know, and there's way too many parents who, especially if we're talking about, now we're moving from little children to adults, but the parents who have their kids violating values, they take way too much shame in that. And they take way, you know, really good parents have kids who make poor choices. So I'm not blaming it all on the parents, but I am saying that parents can do things. But part of it is working on their own life. I've been in a small group for 23 years with some men. They're awesome. Well, I'm a better husband, a better father, and now a better grandpa because of being with those men, where we have an authentic spiritual relationship, meaning at first, we're guys. We talked about sports, and we did a Bible study, but we talked about sports and politics. And now we've opened the kimono a little bit. One of the guys said a number of years ago, he said, I'm struggling in my marriage. And we all jumped in, and now it's much more accountability and having good conversations and support. People have to put energy and time into that kind of stuff. So that may not be the answer that some people are looking for, but it is the answer, I think, that works.
Absolutely, it does. It reminds me of Dan Siegel's work, right? The Power of Showing Up, how parental presence literally shapes who our kids become and how their brains are wired. I love the four S's he always gives, just providing safety for our kids, seeing them right below or beneath the kind of behavior into the emotions. What's going on up here beneath what's going on out here? After we provide them with safety, after we see them emotionally, we soothe them in times of need, equipping them with coping skills to face the inevitable challenges that they're going to face in life. And then they can refer back to a secure attachment again. You know, Jim, I have seen, though, with even continuing to stay in their child's story, if they've, let's just say, wandered away from the family values or the faith, I've seen parents sometimes almost over-involve themselves and almost try to rescue their kids and bring them back rather than just simply helping them, sometimes from a distance. Talk about how we might be raising a mentally weak generation of just like kids because we don't allow them the opportunity to build independence or resilience, and we're always trying to rescue them from everything they come up against.
And I think that started in my generation and it has continued in some ways. And we call them helicopter parents or lawnmower parents or whatever. Right. We got to land the helicopter. And you know what I always say is that we have to practice tough love. Tough love is not being mean to them. We have misunderstood that phrase, tough love. Tough love is allowing the circumstances of their poor choices to carry out and actually showing empathy, saying, man, I'm so sorry you don't have that money. No, we can't help you with that. But I'm so sorry you don't have that money because of spending it on whatever. But we sure love you and we want to support you. And, you know, I'm sure you can work this out. And if you need some insider wisdom, we can sure give it to you. That's tough love because you can't be a one-topic parent, but you can't bail them out. So when you bail out an adult child, you just caused entitlement and a failure to launch. And, you know, there's even a psychological term, if you Google it, it's called the failure to launch syndrome. I'm not sure it's they call it a psychological term. I'm not sure it's totally a psychological term, but they'll call it that. But, you know, the syndrome is that these are kids who are still taking 11% of parents have said that they write their kids' paper in college. Okay. You know, they make their dental appointments. That means we just have to allow them to to figure that out. Our daughter, Becca, who I just, she has actually a master's in clinical psych and has been to AACC, and she's a great woman. She, we paid $5,000 for braces. So we're emotionally involved in her braces, and she's not wearing her, as a young adult, she's not wearing her retainer. She's not, I mean, she's obviously brushing her teeth, but she's not taking care of it. So now she's married, and she was telling me the other day, hey, I want to, she lives in Los Angeles and we live in Orange County in California. And so she says, I'm going to come down because she goes to the dentist down here. And she goes, yeah, this is costing me a lot of money. I should have worn that retainer. And I didn't offer to repay for that, but I realized, you know what? Now she's an adult. She's, you know, in her 30s, she gets it. She now is paying the price, which is going to cost her, I think, another five to make sure that the teeth are straight. That was a hard one because I wanted to like call her every day and go, wear your retainer, wear your retainer, you know, wear your retainer. It's not the way we do it. We sometimes have to let them experience because, you know, we know this is even with little children, but experience is a better teacher than advice. So sometimes we just have to, you know, keep our mouth shut. I have sores on my tongue from biting my tongue, even with my adult children.
Experience is a better teacher than advice. You've taught us today a lot, Jim, just about a lot more is caught than it is taught. And at the end of the day, as you navigate these different stages, it really becomes more about coaching and caring and doing life alongside of our adult children. You know, Jim, man, I wish I could continue to learn, and I'm sure this will be the first interview of many moving forward because I want to continue to glean from your wealth of wisdom and sage advice. But how I want to end this one and kind of land the plane here for a moment is to the parent out there today who is pretty discouraged and is pretty disappointed with the way that things are going within their family, within even their marriage, and just so many different things that are kind of beginning to spin out of control in their life. Jim, just what's a final word of hope, encouragement, and motivation that you want to leave that parent with today?
Well, you know, I love the scriptures that talk about, you know, the Lord being close to the brokenhearted. So lean into God. Sometimes parents lean away from him because they feel so much shame. Lean into God, but also lean into others who can help you. You know, the Bible is very clear when it talks about confession of sin. You know, when we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, of course. But also when we confess our sin, or you know, sin just simply means in the Greek, missing the mark. When we confess our sin to others, we will be healed. So actually by sharing our story, it's not just the sins, but our deep despair or disappointment, there's healing in that. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't go away, but God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. So I'm not trying to over-spiritualize this. I'm just simply saying in the moment that you need him the most, don't walk away in shame. Actually lean into him and then also tie in with the, you know, with others who can kind of be the arms and the hands and the mouthpiece of Christ. And, you know, it's a simple message. It's not an easy message.
Yes. You know, as you mentioned, that process of spiritual formation, one of the greatest ways to continue on in our faith journey is through shared suffering, inviting God into that story, but also inviting friends and others, like you said, helpful voices to journey alongside of you in this crazy journey that we call life. You are not alone as a mom or a dad, a husband and a wife. Invite people into your story. And I love what you mentioned with the adult children, with all children, stay in their story, no matter what state they might find themselves in. Jim, my friend, on behalf of all of us, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, all of us at Life, Love, Faith, and Family and the AACC, we appreciate you. We love the work that God has called you to. Thank you so much for an obedient yes, and thank you for your time and willingness to join me today.
Well, thank you. And thank you for what you're doing, Zach. God has his hand on you, and AACC is a movement of God that I'm just inspired and I just go crazy with. I get the chance to see all the great stuff that you guys are doing. Honestly, it's amazing.
We appreciate you, sir. As is homeward, and we're grateful for you again. Thank you again.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit AACCFoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas, in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ehlers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.